Anybody remember that? Welcome out to Innovation. How many of you guys remember that? Show of hands. I knew our first service would know that, right? Like they have no clue. And it wouldn't do that once, right? It would do it again and again and again, trying to connect. And you would just sit there all patient, right? You would just sit there with your hands crossed and, oh, I'm just enjoying my day, right? No, we would all get extremely mad. And what's taking so long, right? How many of you guys are ready to go back to those days? Oh, okay. Just making sure. Making sure that I'm in the right crowd, that I'm talking to the right crowd today, because that is the epitome of waiting, right? Like waiting for internet and dial-up and trying to load a page and load a picture, or how many of you would go to sleep trying to download something and then wake up the next day hoping it was there and hoping it didn't fail? It is so crazy these days how fast internet can be, but also how impatient we all can be, right? Because none of us like to wait, including myself, right? There's I remember being a kid, right? And anybody go to theme parks as a kid, right? We were talking about Disney even this morning, Tara, right? And I was saying, you know, how I've got an insider that lives in Orlando and they know the best time to go. And everybody needs an insider if you're ever going to Disney or any theme park, because if not, you're waiting in line for not 1 hour, not 2 hours, sometimes not three or four. Like the lines can be forever long, so much so that they'll charge you more to get a fast pass. Any fast pass purchasers in here, right? Yeah, I know. All the people, I'm talking to you today, that don't like waiting. And so I've been there though. I remember being in line even at a water fountain. I was probably 10 years old, and one of my best friends, his sister, best friend Josh, his sister Amy, decided that she would take our friendship for granted, and that I had just finished PE, I was sweating, and I was waiting in line like a good little Baptist kid in my uniform, ready to get my drink from the 90-year-old water fountain that was there, right? And I was waiting, and she decided that she would cut in front of me, and this was probably not the only time that she decided it, but at 10 years old, and she was a couple years older, I decided to take it upon myself and ride her like a pony, jumped on her back, and began to pummel her because she cut in line. Now, that is not what your kids are learning in Innovation Kids this morning. Can somebody say amen? Oh. It is crazy. I was driving home the other day, and it seems like it gets longer and longer every time you hit those windmills, right? If you're driving up north, whether it be South Bend, whether it be Valpo or Michigan City or Chicago or wherever, taking the kids to camp, whatever, almost in Wisconsin, right? Like coming back, you hit those windmills and it's like, oh, we're almost home. Now it takes forever. Right? And that drive I don't know if they keep moving the exit or what, but it seems like that waiting these days, I don't know about you, but it's getting harder for me. And many times waiting feels like nothing's happening. But today we're going to look at how waiting may feel like that, but in God's hands, that waiting is never wasted. And so some of you are in that season right now where things seem quiet, where nothing seems to be moving forward, that nothing's changing. And maybe you get like me and you're wondering, like, all right, God, do you hear me? What's happening? I'm praying these prayers, but God, are you doing anything at all? Today, I've got a microwave here on stage. I thought about coming up and like playing it like with the beat of the songs, but it doesn't work that way. But one of the things that we have here is a bag of microwave popcorn. How many of you guys love microwave popcorn? Right? So simple, so easy. It tells you this side up, all the instructions. And many times we'll get there, we'll get ready, and we'll be like, okay, I want it to go. And we put the time on, and then we're kind of a little impatient. And at 10 seconds, we get it out. And anybody want some popcorn here this morning? I want to see. You have to eat every kernel inside of here right away. Your mom is saying no. I'm going to listen to wisdom here. All right, let's see. All right, so 10 seconds wasn't enough. All right, let's see what we can do. Let's see. Let's go with 30. See, even the microwave isn't doing good today. See, this is probably going to be the most boring start of a sermon ever at Innovation. Okay, I heard some pops. Anybody? Anybody? Right? Like, we've got growth. Look at that. It's done a lot. But luckily, they made these types of things a little bit more fail-safe for us all, and they put this beautiful button called popcorn. And we get to press start. And I don't know. Do you guys think a minute 15 seconds is enough? I mean, it's already had 10, it's already had 30, so we're at 40 seconds. We'll see. And I love how they have the add 30 second button, but I can hear it. It's bubbling up. It's pop. Oh, we can hear that. It's about to smell really good in here. You guys are really going to get ready for lunch. It's going. It's getting ready. You're like, I came here for this? This is what the pastor came up with this morning to tell us about Jesus. I don't know about this, pastor. It's okay. There'll be more. I can't add 30. I want to add 30 more. I think we're good. How many of you guys as a kid stood there just watching? I probably stood too close. See, you're slowly getting that. That seemed to be almost the perfect amount, right? No extra pops. All righty, Jackson. Here you go. Be careful, it's hot. Reason I do that today is because we all just saw something become different. And it took some time. Many of us didn't want to wait. Many of us don't want to wait in life. And some of you are in that season right now. But what I want to point out about that popcorn is that the miracle didn't start when it was all popped. That it started while it was sitting in the heat. It started while it was waiting. It started while all of us were wondering what is going on here at church today. And what if that's what's going on in your life? Because it could feel like nothing's happened, but God is doing something no one else can see. No one else can feel. The heat may feel like it's rising, but you're waiting. Today we're going to be in Acts 1, and I really want to read all of it, but I typed way too many words here today. And so if you're following along in the Innovation Church app, all the scriptures are right in there. And so if you don't have that app, like you can point, like I said, or like they said earlier, you can point your camera to that QR code and you can send the word camp and you'll get all the instructions about camp. You can send the word connect, and that's like filling out that connect card that's in front of you, right? Like there are all the things, and we even got the app back up on the App Store even this week. And so if you scan that and text the word app, then it'll get you the instructions on how to install the app onto your phone. Sorry, Android users, it's not as easy. But as we read Acts 1, you can turn there in the Bible. I'm not going to have the full thing on the screen here today. You can get the YouVersion app. That's a great one. There are these things called physical Bibles, just in case you've never seen one. I know this is a lot more portable, and today I don't have anywhere to set anything down, but a physical Bible, these are great. Actually, coming up in a couple weeks, we've got a grad Sunday where we actually give a physical Bible away to every graduate as we honor them, as we pray over this next season of their life, because the physical Bible, nobody's going to digitally change it. The physical Bible, there's something about just touching and feeling. I love just sitting down with it. One of my favorite things is to sit down with my dad's, because it's still highlighted and underlined and things written out to the side. And actually, in 2 weeks before June 14th, so just a few weeks before June 14th, we're going to have a table actually outside with all the graduates' Bibles, and there'll be highlighters and pens and stuff where we actually encourage you as a church to go through and highlight your favorite scripture, the ones that have gotten you through, to write in notes of encouragement to any of the graduates. And so if you're interested or you have a graduate, that QR code will get you all the information, sign up your graduate, and they'll receive a Bible, hopefully full of wisdom and knowledge from you guys, from a church that while they're walking through college and the Wi-Fi's down, right? This is the Wi-Fi-less Bible, right? They can carry it. They can have it, whether it's in their car, in their trunk, or wherever. It can be with them. And who knows where your scripture of encouragement or the one that's meant a lot to you, how it's going to show up in their lives. And so I would encourage you, as you see that table pop up, to go ahead and do that. But today we're going to be in Acts chapter 1. And as we get there, Jesus has already gone to the cross, right? We've done that, right? We talked about that. We celebrated that cross and that decision. He's already risen from the dead. And for 40 days, he's been showing up. Right? And he's been saying, "Hey, how's it going, guys? Jesus, I'm back." And YOLO, that's not me. And he's been appearing both to his disciples and to others, proving that he's alive and teaching them once again about the kingdom of God. And the disciples are really thinking, like, this is the moment, right? Everything is finally going to happen now. Jesus has come back to lay the smack down on the Roman government. But instead, Jesus gives them this command to wait, not to go, not to build, not to preach, but to wait. And I'm certain that this was probably one of the hardest commands that Peter had to take in. Wait, I'm the guy, Jesus, I'm the guy that jumps out on the water. Like, I'm the guy that you say, go, I go. I am ready. He was always speaking too soon, rushed ahead, acted too fast. Today we're looking at how do we trust God in the waiting. And I want to stand before you as your pastor and say, I don't know. I don't. It's tough. There's some visions and some dreams that I've been given that I'm like, let's go, God. And he still says, wait. And I say, I'm going to push harder, God. And he still says, wait. And so I'm right in this boat looking at these scriptures with you. Not from a place of knowledge and understanding, but at a place of learning. Because it sucks. It's frustrating, right? And I'm learning today with you as we look at these scriptures. And so, if you look in the app, it is all there, verses 6 all the way through verse 14. But what I want to do is kind of look at them kind of line by line, because that's how they make the most sense to me. Many times, all the words on the page, I need it broken down a little bit smaller. Bite size, right? Like an elephant. And so, after everything, after the resurrection, after all the promises, Jesus tells them to wait in these passages. They had a promise, but what they didn't have is a timeline. I like a good timeline. It's like a good spreadsheet. But that's where the tension lives, right? Being okay with God's promise, but struggling with the timing. See verse 6, it says, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? Right? Isn't that like most people that want to follow after Jesus? We become just like those disciples, right? Take over the world, Jesus! Take out this government! This is horrible! It's our time to reign, right? Like that's, I don't think they were too far off from even sometimes some Christians today. It's time to forcefully take over. This is the moment. But really? What I read when I see this, because this was something that the disciples constantly asked. This was something the Pharisees, they were always wanting to take over and have the most power, right? Is it the time? Is it the time? Is it the time? Right? Right here, these disciples are reminding me of my kids in the back seat. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Have I stopped yet? Feel free to open the door. Might push you. Pastor recently asked me if I knew the song Come Jesus Come. He was like, I just love that song. Come Jesus Come. He said, I want to sing it every Sunday. I said, you're sitting next to the wrong guy. I want my neighbor to come to Jesus. And if all of them haven't yet, all right, Jesus, I've still got some things to do. You come whenever you want, but there's some people here that need you, right? If we're going to be people that live for the 67%. See, Jesus responds in verse 7, the Father alone has authority to set those dates and time. They are not for you to know. That means that YouTube clickbait that you've been clicking on and watching and that profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, that you've been following and trying to figure out, maybe you got a whole map on your whole wall. And Jesus says, you ain't gonna know. You're not going to know. Sometimes I wonder if the date keeps moving because so many people keep trying to guess, right? Like, ha-ha, moving target, yeah! Too much caffeine this morning. What if we actually did what Jesus told us to do while we were waiting? Of making disciples. You don't need to understand my timing. You need to trust me and do what I tell you to do. By the time we get down to verse 8, it says, but you will receive power. He gives them this. Wait, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses. Any true crime podcasters in the room? Okay, it's okay. You can admit that in public. It's all right. And that, you hear the different witnesses telling their version and what they saw. What they saw happened and how they give a testimony. Isn't that what it means for us to be God's witnesses? Instead of hoping that God's going to overthrow our government, is going to come back on Monday, May the 4th, 2026. That's Star Wars Day, by the way. What if we simply waited on the Holy Spirit? And while we're waiting, be a witness to what God has done in our lives. what he's doing in our lives, what we're believing for him to do, what we're trusting for him to do. What if we're the ones telling the story about the addiction that he's breaking, the changes that he's making, the marriage that he's restoring, the love that he's having us show to others? What if that was what we were doing while we're waiting? See, notice they were focused on when, but Jesus redirects them to what. They were asking about timing, and Jesus says, I have a purpose for you, even in the waiting. I mean, you guys walked past our purpose as a church as you walked in, the big sign on the wall. It says we exist to connect others to their unique purpose. That's why we've been saying sign up for a Connect Four. Like, sit down with others and say, how am I following Jesus? How can we follow him better together? What can we implement into our lives? Are there things that he's done in us to be a witness and a testimony to one another, to encourage one another and to spur one another along? You can text, but I don't need to tell you that, right? It's there. But the truth for us, as we look at these passages today, I believe, is that waiting isn't passive, that it's preparation. Or simpler, that it's not wasting, it's actually working. Do we actually see ourselves as God's waitstaff? For our family, for our neighbors, for our workplaces, for our city? Do we wake up every morning and reach over and grab the apron and put it on? Say, all right, God, who do I get to wait on today? Isn't that what we want from all our waiters and waitresses? Whether it be this afternoon or any time that we've ever gone out to eat, right? We want those Diet Coke refills, like stat, right? Like those, that cup never runs dry, right? That's what we want. All 40 refills because they have no calories, right? We want that waiter waiting on us like we're the only ones in the restaurant, giving us all their attention. I don't know if you've ever seen, maybe you've been a waiter or a waitress in the room. It's been people that have been known to leave Bible verses instead of tips. Just a short little mini sermon, right? Like instead of a tip, like your water just worked a full cardio session. Your waiter just worked a full cardio session for your table. The whole table got 17 refills, 3 different substitutions. Somebody ordered gluten-free and then dipped in the bread basket. That waiter or waitress survived your table. And the bill comes. It's all filled out. And they, all right, this is my moment. And inside a folded piece of paper, this is going to be good. And they open it, for God so loved the world. That's beautiful. He did. But that doesn't pay their rent. That doesn't put gas in their tanks. Or there's the savage ones, right? They start to quote verses. Man shall not live on bread alone. And that waiter's just like, you ordered 4 more bread baskets. What are you talking about? Give and it will be given unto you. And that waiter's like being held back by the wait staff. I just gave and you gave nothing back to me. Then there's those crazy like fake money tracks where it actually looks like money and it looks like a $20 bill. The waiter's heart rate goes up and they're finally excited that they can get their kids some school supplies. And they flip it over. And it's more like a gotcha. Here's how to get saved. Now they need salvation for a whole different reason. Or you hit, we prayed for you at the meal. And that was their tip. See, if our tips make somebody dislike Christians, could we be doing something backwards? I heard it even firsthand just last week as I sat down at a Pizza Hut. There's one you can actually sit down at in town. It's great. All the old wood. And I sat down from across from the husband, and his wife was actually part of the wait staff. And she came over, and she didn't know who I was, but she was telling me all about this church group that comes in every single week, 13 to 17 people that never leave a tip. What if we shocked people in a good way? What if we didn't go out to eat until we could shock them in a good way? Until we could be a blessing. And then we can write, hey, God sees you, and so do we. What if after there's an excitement and a graciousness for what's left in that little envelope, then we say, is there anything we can pray about you or for you with? Don't tip like we're in the recession when we serve a God of abundance. Don't leave a verse. Leave a tip that makes the verse believable. Nobody's ever been tricked into the kingdom of God with a fake $20 bill. But I guarantee you there's a lot of people that have been loved into the kingdom by someone who cared for them, lived like Jesus was real. Back to the disciples before I keep going on. See, God was doing something in them before he was going to do something through them. And I bet the same is true about each and every one of us. That even in these moments of waiting, even in the moments when the heat is still warming, you guys weren't close, but I was. I could hear the bubbling. I could hear the crackling. I could see the swirling. But what does God want to do through us? Because what God wants to do through us will always require something deeper happening in us first. And that's what happens to Peter. This is the same Peter who spoke before thinking, jumped out of boats, cut off ears, denied Jesus. Peter, though, didn't have a waiting problem. I think he had a rushing problem. He was in a hurry to get things done. Rush and rush until life's no fun, right? But he was told to stay. He was told to sit. He was told to trust. I'm wondering if some of us are too. Because by the time you get down to verse 12 and 14, it says, they returned to Jerusalem just like Jesus said. And in verse 14, it said, they all met together and they were constantly united in prayer. Don't miss that, because that's important, especially while we're waiting, to be united, to be focused on God, to be in prayer. They didn't complain. They didn't scatter. They didn't try to force something to happen. They stayed, they obeyed, and they prayed. They didn't waste the wait. They worshiped in it. So what do we do when we're in our waiting season? I wrote down way too many words today. But when nothing seems to be happening, what we see them doing is they're obeying what Jesus said. What does that look like in our lives? Are there things in our lives where we need to obey what God already said? Sometimes we're stuck in a waiting season because we can't handle our finances. A buddy of mine called me up. God's called me to plant a church. What should I do? I know you've done it. It was a couple years into this. What do I do? And the first thing I said, don't do it. If there's anything else you can do, do that. Second thing I said, pay off all your debts and don't get any new ones. So what does he do? And 2 weeks later, I get a invite to his housewarming party because he signed up for a mortgage. I drive up to that house and sitting in the driveway is a brand new minivan. We may laugh, but here we are 10 years plus later, still in planning a church. The workload that him and his wife took on because of those payments began to increase and to increase and to increase. And he couldn't do what God already told him to do. See, obeying what God's already said means stop chasing a new direction when we haven't followed the last instruction. When Proverbs says that a borrower is slave to the lender, right? I'll get off of that one. I'll jump onto that hottie with the body. Maybe she's the one that's supposed to be treated like your sister. Last time I checked, we're not in Kentucky, and so tonsil hockey with your sister is off the list. Sorry for those that are from Kentucky. You're watching online. Hi, Kentucky. They probably already clicked it off. Ladies, that cutie with the booty that is only chased in moments and always acting moody, right? If he's not just trying to hit it and quit it, but he actually lives for the Lord. If he's actually following after God, if he's willing to say, as for me and my house, meet me at church. God wrote that standard out in Genesis. Make sure he's working, make sure he's following, listening to God's voice. What if we start making sure that we're listening to what God's already said? Maybe it's time for us to know what he's already said and open up our Bible ourselves and not just let the pastor feed you one meal a week. You will be now malnourished, I promise you. Back to the text before I get in trouble today. Probably too late. Some of you are thinking that, I know. So obey what God's already said. Be faithful with what he's already told us to do. Second thing, stay where God's placed you. Waiting is going to tempt you to move too soon, to quit, to walk away, to force a door open. Didn't work that good for Abraham and Sarah or the whole Middle East. Premature movement can sabotage a prepared moment. If the disciples had left Jerusalem, they would have missed out on Pentecost, and we'll be talking about that. What if we don't walk away from the place that God told us to stay just because it's taken longer than expected? And then the last one, pray while we wait. See, verse 14 said they were constantly in prayer. They didn't sit around frustrated. They sought after God. They turned their waiting room into a prayer room. Instead of worrying, they worshiped. Instead of panicking, they pursued God. If you think about any comeback story, in sports and movie and life, nobody steps into a comeback moment without going through that preparation season first. That digging deep season first. The early mornings that nobody sees. The late nights that nobody applauds. Those reps that nobody celebrates. If it looks boring, it's waiting. If it looks slow, if it looks like nothing's happening, the comeback was built in a quiet. And so much yours. That's what God's already doing in your life. Why? Well, because God's preparing. What God is preparing, I believe, in you, in us, what God is preparing in you is just as important as what he's preparing you for, what he's preparing for you, right? You don't have to be with this guy and this guy and this guy and this guy. He's getting one ready. All the single ladies, come on, that's a great time to amen, right? He's not mature enough for you yet. He's not ready for you yet. Don't rush that. You know people who do that. Married 3 times in 30 years. What if God gave you the opportunity without the preparation? It would crush you. I'm so glad he didn't call me to be a pastor of a church in 7th grade. That would have not gone well. So can we know that God uses waiting not to delay you, but to develop you? And it takes time. It's not going to happen in 10 seconds, not going to happen in 30 seconds, probably not going to happen in a minute and 15 seconds either. But if you're in a season right now where nothing's happening, where prayers just feel unanswered, where doors aren't opening, remember that sometimes the greatest miracles come after the season of waiting. That it's our job to stay obedient, stay in position, and to stay in prayer. Because just like that popcorn, you may not hear anything yet. You may not see anything yet, but God's still working. The heat is building, the pressure is rising, and something is shifting. And when the time is right, we all heard it, the pop starts. And then it's one after another after another. And it's like, there's too much popcorn to fill this bag. We're facing some of those issues here. And it's great to see. Let's close off in prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you that we can trust you in the waiting. And as we do that, we're getting ready to see you move suddenly. God, I know there's people in the room that are in their waiting season. They've been praying, they believe in, they've been holding on. And if they were honest today, that they would really, really say that it's been hard. They've wondered if God sees them, if God hears them. God, many times we've wondered if anything's actually going to happen. But maybe today, God is reminding you that your wait is not wasted. I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, right now, I lift up each and every person in this room who's in this season of waiting. Help them know that you see them, that you have this whole message for them. God, you know the prayers that they've prayed. You know the tears that they've cried. You know the questions that they carry. And God, right now, I ask that you would strengthen their hearts. Give them peace in the process. Give them faith in the silence. Give them endurance when they feel like giving up. And remind them that you're working even when they cannot see it. Help them stay obedient, or help them get obedient. Help them stay planted, to stay prayerful. And God, I pray that in the right moment, in your perfect timing, not theirs, not mine, that you would bring forth breakthrough. You would bring clarity. You would bring the promise to pass. And until then, give them the strength to wait well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.